A service for the second Sunday after the Epiphany, January 14th, 2023. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. An Old Testament reading now from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood a calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. And now an epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 6. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and stomach for the food, and God will destroy both, one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never! Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For, as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now for a sermon entitled, Believing on Account of the Miracles, based upon the Gospel reading from John chapter 1. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A prevailing problem for people of faith is that in a lot of ways it is more difficult to be a believer in Christ now than what it used to be. Moving forward into the future, the challenge may be increasing. Why might this be? Well, one reason among many is that our culture is shifting, where at one time there were a lot of people actively professing their faith, even by attending church services. On Sunday mornings, your family was only one among a number who lived on your street, making their way to services. Now yours may very well be the only one. Then you see it among friends, co-workers, and even some family members. They either never heard or no longer seem to have faith. It shows in what they value most. It shows in their regard to obeying God's laws and living in His ways. It's as though they've moved on and are joining the majority. Well, let's be honest. It's tempting for you and me to join with them. After all, they appear to be doing fine without faith. They are not restricting themselves, and they look like they are enjoying more freedom. The temptation for us is to get with the times and forget about the Christian faith. Besides, we can point to many Christians who leave much to be desired. However, before you and I forsake the faith and join up with the majority, we do a lot better to think for ourselves. And when we do, we will discover that the Christian faith isn't unreasonable. There's a lot of good, solid, and rational reasons to keep walking in the faith, following in the footsteps of Jesus. These reasons include the miracles of Jesus. In this season of Epiphany, we consider some of them. Jesus used miracles to reveal the truth of his claims. You and I have them recorded in reliable historical documents. Most of these are in our scriptures, which truly do record what Jesus actually did and spoke. Today we are in the document known as the Gospel of John. John was a first-hand eyewitness to it all from start to finish. Near the end, John tells us why he wrote, saying how Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Possibly running out of parchment, John finally wraps up his letter saying about himself, "This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true." Exaggerating then to make his point, he adds, "Now there were also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." That is why today's gospel reading records something miraculous that brought a certain man from unbelief to faith. It was recorded for our benefit, to bring us to faith, or to strengthen us in the faith that we have, keeping us from backsliding. It is the account of how a skeptic named Nathanael became not only a believer in Jesus, but one of the 12 disciples, also known as Bartholomew. The event recorded happened not long after Jesus was baptized, which was the beginning of his public ministry. Jesus decided to move north to the region of Galilee, taking with him two new disciples who had previously been with John the Baptist. These were Andrew and John, the account's author. This journey north suited these two, for they were actually from Galilee themselves, where they had family and friends. Other disciples started to be called, like Andrew's brother Simon, known as Peter, and then Philip. This is where our gospel lesson began, for it informs us how Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And it was Philip who then found his friend Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Moses." Unlike the previous disciples, Nathan was more skeptical. He knew the scriptures well enough to see a flaw in their conclusion about this Jesus. Philip said that he was from the neighboring town of Nazareth. Moses in the law and the prophets indicated that when Messiah comes, he will be from Judea, Bethlehem, in fact. That is why Nathanael, showing why he was not going to be gullible and to make his point, replied, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" His implied answer was, "Of course not." Perhaps this plays into why many today are forsaking the faith. It is unreasonable, is it not, that God would become a human being and be born anywhere in this world? That sounds like a belief for the delusional, those who are very gullible. Besides, what do ancient writings by Moses in the law and the prophets have to do with anything? How can the historical documents of John and the other apostles be authentic? Why would any of it be relevant to your life and mine, especially in the year 2024? However, before we join those who dismiss Jesus as the one who came to save us, we do better to take to heart the words that Philip had for Nathanael. Philip said to him, "Come and see. After all, what could it hurt to at least go and meet him?" He went with Philip, and that's when Nathanael had a change of heart. We learn, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Now this greatly surprised Nathanael. Even more than he saw Jesus, Jesus was seeing him. Nathanael asked Jesus, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip came to call you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. This was a miracle. Nathanael had never met Jesus. He didn't know that Philip had told him about him, and there was no way that Jesus could have known that they had been under the fig tree when their conversation had taken place. Therefore we learn, Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael would no longer doubt, but believe, altering his life due to what he had witnessed and experienced. Now this likely does not sound like that convincing of a miracle as far as miracles go. Today, with surveillance cameras, something like this could easily be replicated. Even then, it wasn't the most convincing of miracles. Jesus himself said as much, responding to Nathanael's new faith, saying, because I said I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? It's almost like Jesus is surprised how quick Nathanael was to believe. Jesus then assured him, you will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Well, as one of the 12 disciples, Nathanael did go on to see a lot of miracles, starting with water being turned into wine. Jesus restored the sight of a man born blind, something impossible to this day. Jesus even raised their friend Lazarus from the dead, and this in spite of the body decomposing. Nathanael truly did see greater miracles. However, the greatest miracle happened after Jesus laid down his holy and innocent life, dying for the sins of the world on Calvary's cross. By his death on the cross, Jesus was truly doing something miraculous. He was offering his blood as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. And then on the third day, just as Jesus said he would, he rose again from the dead. That was the greatest miracle of all, that John, Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael, together with the rest of the disciples, and up to 500 other eyewitnesses, saw for themselves. It was the miracle of which Jesus spoke when he told Nathanael, you will see heaven opened. Jesus, by his life, death, and resurrection, opened heaven to all who trust in him. As John pointed out, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Eternal life through the forgiveness of sins is the inheritance of all who receive him. We have the hope of ascending with the angels into the open heaven. John also wrote that to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. People in our day are abandoning the faith, that is, if they ever even had it. These include our neighbors, co-workers, friends, and, yeah, even family. We need to invite them, as Philip did to the skeptic Nathanael, to come and see. Hopefully they will be convinced, as Nathanael soon was, and as you and I now are, that Jesus is the one to save us. As Nathanael's initial skepticism and failure to believe did not cause Philip to fall from the faith, but to keep drawing others into it, may we likewise remain strong in our faith. To that end, keep coming to church services, even if you are the only one in your neighborhood that does. Keep reading for yourselves Moses in the law, the prophets, together with the apostles like John, all that to which they testify. This includes the miracles. They are performed and recorded for us by eyewitnesses in the scriptures, that we also might believe that heaven has indeed been opened to sinners, thanks to Jesus and the sacrificial offering of himself that he made for us. Besides, miracles are not only in the past. We experience them daily. In fact, our very lives are miracles. Then there are all sorts of things that happen that really defy explanation. God remains in the miracle business. There's lots of reasons to believe. And yes, these include the miracles. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, put a new song in our mouths. Lead us out of all deceit and into the confidence of your truth. Let us proclaim your wondrous deeds of faithfulness and salvation in Christ, without fear or hesitancy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. King of Israel, as you once called Samuel, John, and Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael into your service, be pleased now to call men into your holy ministry. Give them a delight in your holy scriptures, that their witness would lead many to follow the Son of God. Thank you for Ben, our adoptive student, and bless him and his family as Ben studies at the seminary. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, you call fathers, mothers, and children to serve in their households. Let them serve eagerly, each according to their station, trusting that such love honors you. May we be able to share with those closest to us the salvation that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, let all the nations and peoples of the earth ascribe to you the glory due your name. Hear our prayers for all rulers and leaders, especially for our own elected leaders in Canada. Direct them by your word and spirit, and establish them in saving faith. Lead them in their offices to govern wisely for the good of their people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, behold in mercy all for whom we pray. Bring healing, comfort, strength, patience, and certainty to all in need. Receive our thanks for your constant watch and merciful kindness. In every sorrow and every joy, do not let our eyes be drawn from the greater marvel of your kindness in Christ Jesus, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Lord, mighty God, you have shown us the face of your mercy in your Son, through whom all nations may find unity in life. Hear the prayers of your people and grant what is needful to us and those for whom we pray, that trusting in your mercy our hearts may find perfect peace and rest. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you peace. Amen.